The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I am Avra Lewis with the North Carolina Reading Service, and for the next half hour, I will be reading to you from Essence Magazine. The first article is titled, Everybody Loves Usher Raymond. After 30 plus years in the industry, the singer is busier and hotter than ever, solidifying his legacy as a family man and an R&B king. Usher Raymond is at peace, a true showman who goes above and beyond on the stage. The crooner could be expected to be a ball of kinetic energy off stage too. But as we begin our conversation, he's very calm. His tone is warm and mellow, not tired, as well-known figures often are when interviewed after a long stretch in a studio or on a set, but not overly energetic either. He is present, confident, and engaged. This is because before tackling work, he carves out time for himself. Before our interview, Usher slept in a little and completed his daily yoga class. Mentally, the 45-year-old says yoga helps him keep things in perspective. Physically, the discipline allows him to stave off injury as he gets older, and to be more flexible when he hits those masterful dance moves on stage. I make it a practice to wake up every morning at 6 or 7 o'clock, no matter where I am, he says of his yoga routine, which he sometimes carries out in private but often does in public classes. I have a few places that I go that reserve a back corner for me where nobody notices, and typically in these rooms it's pretty dark, so you don't really see who's there until they turn the lights up and people realize, oh, wait a minute, is that who I think it is? This serenity he gets from this regimen is necessary after his last 3.5 years of high-profile weekend shows in Las Vegas, first at the Coliseum at Caesars Palace in 2021, and then at the Dolby Live at Park MGM from 2022 through 2023. He also worked on his first new album in nearly 8 years, 2024's Coming Home, and curated the longest, most watched Super Bowl halftime show ever. And on the personal front, he welcomed his fourth child and married his long-term partner, music exec Jennifer, aptly in Vegas. Frenzy follows him, so moments of solace, whether he's hiking, bike riding, roller skating, or slipping into the back of a dimly lit Ashtanga class for an hour and a half, are a treat for the king of R&B. There, I said it, but Usher is not on a break. He shares that he's been working so hard that he missed his top of the morning class and had to catch a later one. The Grammy winner, in between also winning Entertainer of the Year awards, being honored on the Black Music and Entertainment Walk of Fame in his hometown of Atlanta, and posing for his Essence cover, has been busy planning his upcoming tour. He has spent his first 12 years in Chattanooga before moving to and embracing Atlanta. Usher, past, present, future, will take him around most of the U.S. and through Europe this August into the spring of 2025. Additional dates have already been added due to demand. An Usher show is a hot ticket because fans know they're going to get a one-of-a-kind experience. I think there's a connection I feel to my audience and a connection to the people that's based on my service to them. He says, I want to make certain that they know I am committed to serving this art. I'm committed to working to make certain that you feel gratified for the first time that you decide to share with me. This sense of connection comes from his epic Vegas residency, which in over 100 performances saw everyone from A-list celebrities to groups on girls' trips to couples, because you can't leave your girl around Usher, as he's lyrically warned, in the stands singing along to his hits. Fans clamored for tickets and for the opportunity to get up close and personal with the star. One superfan, in a viral moment during a show, even videotaped herself pressing his face close to hers as she screamed, "Oh my God!" Usher waited patiently, gold microphone in hand, until she released him. "I told you, he's calm." His series of shows were definitely a game changer, shifting how people see residencies. They are no longer a sign of a career entering its twilight through a mishmash of regimented routines. Instead, they are a chance to push creative boundaries. In addition to bringing insanely talented pole dancers, artists, and skaters to the stage, Usher is proud to have brought Black culture to Las Vegas, all while demonstrating the power of our dollar, as he regularly sold out shows, gross more than $100 million, and sent a clear message. This was about offering people something that was new, a Black audience that did not exist in Las Vegas, he says, and the Black dollar that did not exist in Las Vegas, where casino owners didn't know there was that person who had that extra $2,000 or $3,000 to spend. Furthermore, he says, I was really blown away when I arrived that there wasn't a union for minorities. So I was like, oh crap, this is actually serving more than just the legacy play and celebrating my catalog. It's creating an industry for people who don't have as much power in this city. So I'm selling the culture that comes from our true background. Every time you see me on stage, you see our Black culture. You see HBCU culture at the Super Bowl. You see skating. You see Atlanta culture. I bring that to the forefront, where that becomes a priority. That is the attraction. But that did not exist in Las Vegas before I was brought there, before my residency. Now, the performer is bottling this immersive cultural experience and taking it right to the people. He is curating his set list based on the regions he will be in, even involving fans in the process. He's taking note of requests on social media for songs to cover from his vast catalog as he puts the show together. I try my hardest not to miss anything and to give people an incredible show that they'll remember, he says, of the difficult task of creating exactly the right set list. Fans aren't the only people eager to spend time with Usher. Along with his commitments as Usher the performer, the star makes sure he's showing up at home as Usher the father, with teenage boys Usher Cinco Raymond the fifth, 16, and Navid 15, from his first marriage to Tamika Foster, plus daughter Sovereign 3 and youngest son Sire 2 from his current relationship. He has his hands full. I'm cooking breakfast for my babies. I'm changing diapers. I'm reading at bedtime, he says. 7 o'clock on the dot has obviously changed into something other than the drop top, he jokes. For my older boys, I try to help them understand their homework. I don't get it as much, and I think that is hard for me, honestly, but I do take the time to make them and make it a priority, and I do try to understand. He also supports his children in their endeavors outside of schoolwork, from the artistic to the athletic, and all of his kids know that solo time with Dad is a top priority for him. Sovereign has her time, Sire has his time, Navid has his time, and Usher, he switches abruptly. Cinco, he doesn't like to be called Usher. Sometimes he wants his own identity. So, Cinco, he has his own time, and they all like different things. They bond over the game Monopoly Deal and those bedtime stories they do as a family when he's at home. When he's not, the Raymond children always know exactly where their father is. He's on stage, dancing, singing, and putting on a show at the highest level, which he's been doing for more than 30 years. And when he's off stage, he's laser focused on planning and preparing for the next much talked about performance. When asked what keeps him inspired and invested in an ever-changing industry where a catchy dance and numbers of followers can be more important than talent to guarantee success, he answers with the ease he's displayed throughout our time together. The opportunity to do something new, to introduce and try and experiment and create yet another experience that no one has had, while actually keeping youth and energy around me to inspire me, that's what keeps me young, says the icon. He recently collaborated with fellow Atlanteans 21 Savage and Summer Walker, as well as with Oscar-winning artist Her, who joined him at February's Super Bowl halftime show. As a young person, I was always trying to figure out how to be like the greats of my past. And in this time, I think it's kind of reversed. Also, Usher adds, it's about keeping the integrity by keeping it live, keeping that mic on, keeping that band live, and doing that work. I am hoping that I can be a staple in a way that Prince was for me, for the young people who are coming up after me, the same way that Michael Jackson and Bobby Brown and New Edition and all those incredible performers of the past were for me. I am hopeful that I can be the same for them. The next article is titled Grit, Grace, Granita. Carolyn Wonga asks the question, who is Yvette Noel Shore? Yvette Noel Shore responded, well, I was a journalist first, an entertainment and music journalist. Back in the day, I wrote for two black publications for teenagers, Black Beat and Right On. At the time, Right On was the bigger one, and Black Beat became its sister publication when one publisher bought both magazines. So while working there, you know, you meet people who will help you along your way. I met Larry Jenkins when he was at Capitol Records, and in the years after I met him, he went over to another record label, and he was looking for a publicist. I called one day when he was fed up. He was like, I'm not finding anybody. Wanga asked the question, you just happened to be calling him about something else? Noel Shore responded, like, where's the album? I'm trying to write a review. He heard something in my voice. Later he called it passion, and he said, You know, I haven't really thought about a journalist becoming a publicist. Are you interested? Wenga asked the question. It wasn't a typical career path. Noel Shore responded, no, but when he said, are you interested? I said, no, I am interested in getting the album. I'm on deadline. He convinced me that he would send the album and then I could come up and talk to him. He sent the album. I sat at my desk. I listened. I wrote my quick review and then I went up. And he hired me. I was scared the whole time. I say this all the time, and no one believes me. I spent 17 years at Sony, and 17 years I had a small box under my desk that I kicked every day to remind myself that this is not my company, and I could be fired anytime. Wenga asked the question, what happened after spending 17 years at Sony? Noel Shore responded, it just felt like it was no longer a place that was fitting me. I didn't feel like I needed to be there anymore, so I left with no plans. When I left Sony, I got up the next Monday and I got dressed and I went into the city. I had an appointment with The Answer was redacted. A couple of days went by and I was like, oh, I can go home to Grenada. I can lie on the beach. I can have a good time. I can be a beach bum for a while until I figure this out. And then my phone rang and I heard a southern accent. Hey, you left Sony? What does that mean for me? And then that's how I started. I started with one girl, one young woman, one beautiful young woman. Wenga asked the question, how do you convince your clients when they don't agree with an idea you're pitching them? What's your process? Noel Shore responded, I say the same thing over and over. Have I ever lied to you? And do you believe that when I believe something, I am relentless? And they're like, you are relentless. And they're like, okay, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm here to execute the plan of my client straight up. You want this? I'm going to fight for you. Another thing I always think of myself as is the immigrant, as the outsider, as the person who should take the time to make every single person feel like they belong. There's nothing wrong with other people coming to the island, but you know there's a real issue still in that Black people, not just Caribbean people, but American Black people need to go to the Caribbean. They need to go to Africa. They need to see Bahia. They need to go and see that there are people that look like me and look like them in other places, and they're doing amazing things. When I was growing up, the doctor looked like me, the engineer looked like me, the president looked like me, and the prime minister looked just like me. That is really important. Wenga asked the question, if you could use one word to describe your closet, what would it be and why? Noel Shore responded, sublime. The truth is, the word is sanctuary. I know that somebody reading this is going to be like, this is just all aesthetics and material things, but it's really not. I had nothing in 2008. Every piece was given to me, or I shopped really intentionally for things that made me think of Black women's joy. I started very purposefully purchasing things from Black women. This from fellow Grenadian Fee Noel. It was just very important to me that whatever I wore was comfortable, had a bit of history to it, and I just wanted to surround myself with things I wanted because I was bringing in spirits into the space where I'm putting these things and they needed to align. If you ever spoke to my daughters, they'd say, she's got too much shiny stuff. But I like shiny things. I like gold shoes and gold boots and silver and all of that. But I also like things that remind me of the Caribbean Sea, like the nutmeg on the dress and anything that reminds me of a mango or a coconut. My closet is my joy room, and I try to be very deliberate in this room. Very deliberate, because it's a special room, and like I said, it's become my sanctuary. It's where I keep tangible proof of the ancestors, and it's probably my most special room in the house. And in 2020, during the pandemic, it became my office. Wanga asks the question, what is the advice for the chiefs who read this? Noelle Shore responded, well, I would say that for young girls, and I'm specifically going to talk to those that look like me, whether they are in Birch Grove, St. Andrews, Grenada, or whether they're in San Fernandino Valley in Trinidad, or in San Michaels in Barbados, or Bahia in Brazil, or if they are in Lagos, or if they are in Kenya or South Africa, wherever they are. Two things saved me. Love saved me because I remember sort of falling back and remembering those who love me and a voice. First, you have to learn how to ignore the voices of the sentient, the voices that constantly are there to put you down, and start really turning up the volume on the positive voices. The people who told you that you can make it, the people who told you you are beautiful, whatever beauty means to you. Then after a while, you even have to learn to filter out their voices so the loudest voice in your head becomes your own. If you wake up in the morning and you can tell yourself you loved you, everything else is gravy. The next article is titled Resume Rundown, Joey Litt, the Free the Youth co-founder, leads a new generation of creatives at the forefront of Ghana's streetwear scene. Jonathan Joey Litt Hofi has cultivated a space for Ghana's up-and-coming forces of fashion alongside Richard Omano, Kelly Pearls, and the late Winfred Chase Mensah. They became a hub for founders whose enterprises are making a cultural impact on American industries, even as they encourage African youth to make their style presence known. We met with Joey Litt to discuss Ghana's signature streetwear, his newfound women consumer base, and his work with Virgil. Essence asks the question, tell us about your career journey before you co-founded Free the Youth. Joey Litt responded, I started working at a supermarket called Melcom, similar to a Walmart in Ghana. Then, during university, I interned at a harbor while studying engineering. However, my first official job was in the military. After 2 years, I quit and started Free the Youth. Essence asked the question, how does Free the Youth fill a void within Ghana's fashion space? Joey Litt responded, Free the Youth is pioneering streetwear in Ghana. Most youth didn't see anyone in the field to help them get involved in streetwear. We created many employment opportunities to meet people Ghanaians don't see regularly and to be empowered to enter the fashion space and take it to international stages. Essence asks the following question. The black-owned skincare brand Topicals recently hosted a brand trip to Ghana and partnered with Free the Youth, gifting your latest football jersey to the influencers. With the majority of creators being ladies, have you seen an increase in women expressing interest in your brand? Joey Litt responded, absolutely. Topicals had a good impact on the brand. It pulled in more feminine eyes, and we're working on creating more collections for females this year. I'm glad we partnered with Topicals, and we are looking forward to future collaborations. essence asked another question. Back in 2020, you mentioned that one of your goals for Free the Youth was to spearhead a design space. Can you provide an update on that? Joey Litt said, in 2021, we had a pop-up for 1 year to sell the idea of what we wanted to do. It included a museum for some of our older pieces and unreleased pieces we had designed with Virgil. Virgil had sent samples and we were supposed to drop our designs with him, but then he died. In Ghana, we need spaces like that for the younger generation. We are working to bring the vision to life. Essence asks the last question. What should future founders remember as they create their own labels? Joey Litt responded, for someone like me who's from Africa, I didn't have help. What I learned throughout this journey is to be true to your creativity and vision and always keep consistent. I believed in my supporters and thank God for them. The next article is titled Essence Black Women in Hollywood. The 2024 Essence Black Women in Hollywood Awards premiered Friday, March 15th at 9/8 Central on OWN and Max. Essence was proud to welcome a star-studded list of guests to join us in celebrating this year's honorees, leading the way with class and confidence from the boardroom to the box office. These extraordinary women have made magic happen through groundbreaking storytelling, while also setting the stage for a more inclusive and equitable Hollywood. Some honorees were Danielle Brooks, Haley Bailey, Katherine Busby, Brandy Evans, Zendaya, Kim Coles, Yvette Lee Bowser, and a host of other entertainers. The next article titled Essence Hollywood House, in partnership with BET plus Coca-Cola Zero, Sugar, and Smart Water, Essence brought the magic of Hollywood to life at Essence Hollywood House, themed Scripting Real Change. From panels to networking, we created an experience that celebrated Black excellence in entertainment. Essence Hollywood House provided a platform for conversations and spotlighted the leading voices shaping Hollywood. Hosted by Sky Townsend, the event placed seasoned veterans with emerging talents all under one roof. Coca-Cola Zero Sugar Office Hours with Pretty Vay is where we learned the secrets to transitioning from social media sensation to Hollywood success. Also, executive producer, writer, and star De'Ara Kilpatrick and the cast of the BET Plus series De'Ara from Detroit discussed the path to getting her show on air. The next article is titled Finding Love Abroad. For some Black women, relocating or traveling outside of the United States has improved their dating lives. Well, we have run out of time for today's episode of Essence. We hope you enjoyed it and be sure to listen next time. I am Avra Lewis, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Essence is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.